We're here on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, on the second of the wide lines towards the bottom of the Amud. And in order to get into the sugya, we'll have to turn back to the Mishnah Tzadi Vav Amud Beis. The Mishnah makes the following distinction: Gozal Matbea V'Nistak, and then it says Matbea V'Nifsal. In the first case, Matbea V'Nistak, something happened to the coin itself. And in the second case, nifsal, it was taken out of use. It was disqualified. It's no longer legal tender. In the first case, gozal matbea v'nistak, Rashi calls it a shinui hanikarhu. There's an obvious physical change in the coin. The Goslin stole it, then it was Nistak. In such a case, this is a Shinui. And whenever the Goslin is Kona B'Shinui, the Halacha is Mishalim Kishas HaGzela, which means that the Goslin has to return the value as it were at the time of the Gzela. He doesn't have a right to say Reishal Cholofanecha. This is not the object that he stole. He cannot say Kein Shegozel, here, take it back. The Gazan's Chiyuv is twofold. Number one, if he has the object, it still exists, he has to return it. If, on the other hand, number two, the object no longer exists, then he has a Chiyuv to pay its Domim. And when he pays Domim its value, he pays the value, as it were, B'Shas HaGzela. So even though now the coin is worth nothing, it's Nistak, nevertheless, he, the Gazan, has to pay the full value. However, in the case of Nifsal, in the Sefer, there's no Shinui Anikar. The Matbea per se has not changed in its physical structure, and it only has some legal change. Again, that legal change is quite profound and significant. It is no longer legal tender, but nevertheless, the Gazlan has the right to say, HaReishal Cholofanecha. And in the Reish, in the case of Nistak, the Mishnah integrates this case with Perel Sher Kivu Yain VeHichmitz. These are all cases where the physical object was changed in a very obvious, recognizable way. The Peros are ruined, are spoiled. The Yain is now fermented. It's not tasty. It's not worth anything. And in these cases, beginning with Nistak, it is Kona B'Shinui, and the Gazan pays Kshas HaGzela. Nifsal, on the other hand, is integrated by the Mishnah to cases like Truma V'Nitmes, although once the Truma was Mekabel's Tuma, it no longer has the status of Truma. It's burnt, it's not eaten. But nevertheless, there's no physical change to the Truma itself. The fact that it came in contact with the Sheretz in no way changes the physical object. You could say send the truma to a lab test and nothing has changed. Or chametz v'avrolav pesach, etc., etc. In all these cases, there's no shinui anikar, and therefore the Gazan has the right to say areishal cholofanecha. And now we turn to daf tzadi vav amud to daf tzadi zayin amud aleph, and the Gemara now is going to analyze, especially the safe for the case of Nifsal. Omar Avuna, Nistak Mamish. We don't have to clarify about what the word Nistak means. A physical change in the object, and the Gazlan could no longer say Ashol Cholfanecha. There's a Shinui Hanikar. He has to pay Kishas HaGzel. But Nifsal, says Rav Huna, what does Nifsal mean? And his answer is Psalatu Malchus. Now, in the simple case of Psalatu Malchus, where the king mandated that this particular coin is no longer valid, is no longer legal tender, and the king has the sovereign power to do so. He probably was motivated by the fact that the tzura on this particular matbe, on this coin, was that of a a previous king, which, you know, he wants to get rid of that, take it out of circulation. But in any event, since the coin, this matbe, is a local matbe from this particular country, and the king of this particular country has invalidated this coin, and he removed it from legal tender, that coin is valueless anywhere in the world. But again, in its physical state, nothing changed. There was a legal change. There's no shinui anikar, and therefore the Gazlan does not have a kinyan shinui, and therefore he can say to the nigzal arishal cholof anecha. That's Rav Huna. Rav Yehuda Amar, no. Salatu malchus nami avi nistak. If this coin is valueless, in other words, there's a picture of the previous king, and this king now, the current contemporary king, wants to and has invalidated this coin with the earlier, then this is not the same object anymore. That's an absolute shinui. Anyone could look at this coin and say it's valueless. In the case of Truma, for example, how would you know, how would the spectator know that this Truma is Tmeya? It looks like Tahora, it's exactly identical. But in this particular case, every coin of its category has its particular image, appearance. It has its mint, its king on it, or the queen, whatever it might be. And therefore, everyone in the world could point to this coin and say it's worthless. It's no longer a coin that has any legal value anywhere in the world. That itself is a shini anikar. Elahechi domi nifsal. What did the Mishnah mean in the Sefer regarding matbea that you can say, the Gazan could say, areishal cholofanecha? Namely, that there is no, shall we say, the psul of the Malchus does not remove this coin from its state of value. It has no value whatsoever. What's that case? Where it doesn't have value, but it does have value. Meaning, again, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the valuelessness, you know, the fact that the Satalu Malchus has made it absolutely valueless, it's like monopoly money, it's like paper money, it's like old shkolim, you know, that's a separate category. That's already nikar, that's already a mamash shinui, and in that case of an absolute psul malchus, which makes it valueless anywhere in the world, that is a shini anikar, and the Gazan is koni, has to pay kishas hagzelet, has the same status as nistak. But what's this case of nifsal, says Rabbi Yehuda? Psalatu bedina zo, viyotza bimedina acheres. You know, Rashi is a little bit bothered here by what does it mean, psalatu bimedina zo. Why would the king take this matbea out of circulation here, but allow it to be valuable? There'll be a lot of trade in this matbea if it's valuable and it's legally valid in another country. So Rashi says that nifsal kigon shepaslatu medina zu b'nei medina. It's not the malchus that was posel, but rather b'nei medina paslu mi'atzma. In a sense, there was like a grassroots movement on the part of the locals, on the part of these nationals in this nation, to disqualify the coin. They no longer want to use this coin, but they don't have the power to completely remove the status of the coin elsewhere in other countries in the world. The Yotze Medina Acheres is in such a case. And here we take a look at the Lashon of Rashi. Rashi says, Yochel Lomar Lo. It means that the Gazan has a right to say to the Nigzal, Lech Lo Tzio Sham, you know, go Chutz Laretz, go to a different country, and use it there. The Matbea is still valuable. And as such, the Gazan has a right to say, Arei Shal Cholof Anecha. I, over here in this local country, what's the Nigzal going to do when he gets back his coin and it's no longer valid in this country? The answer is, it has value elsewhere. Now again, you might ask the question, why does the Nigzal have to suffer over here, that Rachel Cholofanecha, and get on a ship or fly a plane, you know, out to some other country in order to get some value from the coin that was stolen from him. That's not his fault, it's a Gazlan's fault. But the answer is that's the nature of Harei Shalcha Lefanecha, that if there's no Hezek Nikar, then the Gazlan has a right to say, because the Torah says, Veshach like Zeila Asher Gazal, this is Asher Gazal. Here's the Hefta Gazal, here's the stolen object, take it. I mean, what's the chametz worth? What's the truma worth after truma? But the answer is Harei Shalcha Lefanecha. So the chiddush of Nifsal according to Rabbi Yehuda, applying and activating the principle of Harei Shalcha Lefanecha, there's no shinui, applies when this coin has value. If it has value, and it still remains legal tender, at least somewhere, that makes this Nifsal into a into an eno, a shinisha eno nikar. But if, on the other hand, it was nifsal legamre, meaning in any country, because, as Rashi says, that was done through the malchus, tzivo amelech, shalol kabel matbeh zu, lo medina zu, lo medina acheres, in such a case, it's monopoly money, and everyone recognizes it as such. There, clearly you can't say arei shel cholofanech, it's really a different object. So basically, Rabbi Yehuda wants to know, does the Chalashay Matbeah still exist? Such that he could say, Harei Shalchol Fanecha. And Rabbi Yehuda is willing to say that if it exists somewhere, if it has value somewhere, it's Shava Pruta B'Madai, to use the Gemara's language in Kiddushin, here it's Shava B'Medina Acheres, then the Matbeah still has a Chalashay Matbeah. It has some intrinsic value to it, and therefore it's Harei Shalchol Fanecha. It's still the original object that was stolen, despite the fact that here locally it cannot be used. It's out of circulation, it has no legal tender. But if, on the other hand, it was Nifsal HaMatbeah LeGamre, then obviously and recognizably so, this Matbeah has no value. It's a different object. It's not Kain SheGazal, and you have to pay Kishas HaGzela. Omale Rav Chisda LeRav Huna. Now again, Rav Huna was the one who said that once Paslato Malchus, and the only thing that's changed is the legal value and the legal status of this coin, then that's not a Hezek Nikar. So the Gemara asks, Rav Chisda asks, Rav Huna l'didach di amrit nifsal psolatu malchus. And yet, in the Sefer of the Mishnah, according to Rav Huna, even though this was Nifsal Lagamrei, and it has no value, this coin, anywhere in the world, nevertheless, the Gazan has a right to say, Harei Shalchol Fanecha. So Rav Chisda says, Harei Peros Verkivu Yain Vehichmitz, Dechi Pasalto Malchus Dami, the Katani Mishalim Kshas HaGzela. Why do you tell me, Rav Huna, that if the coin was psalto malchus, he could say Harei Shalchol Fanecha? I mean, it's mamish like Peres Erikivu, it's Yai Vehichmitz. The object is gone. Obviously, you look at the fruits and you see they're spoiled. Now you look at this coin and it's out of tender. It has no value to it. Now again, you might ask, well, why is Rav Chisda comparing Nifsal to Peril Sher Kivu? Why not compare it to Truma V'Nitmes, where the Mishnah establishes that he can say Harei Shalchol Fanecha in the Sefer of the Mishnah? But Rav Chisda understood the clarity here that in Truma Shenitmes there's no Ezek Nikar, Peril Sher Kivu is Ezek Nikar, and Matbeah Shenifsal is like Peril Sher Kivu. It's a Matbeah Shenifsal. It's Nikar Hezek. This is paper money. This is monopoly money. This has no value whatsoever. Anyone in the face of the world will look at this coin and see that it's valueless. That's Nikar. Amalei, so Rav Huna has to turn to Rav Chisda with a defense. Hasam, in the case where there's a physical change in the object, for example, the fruit spoiled, nishtana taimo verecho, there's an obvious and profound change in the physical object, that's a hezek. Nikar. And therefore, how could the Gazlan say Rachel Chofanechi was Kona Bishinui, Aval Hoch, but here, in the case of Pasaltu Malchus Lonishtana, meaning the Gazlan has a right to say, here's the physical object I stole from you. True, it's recognizably valueless. Anyone could see it and say that's an old shekel. You know, back in the day they used to give money for asimonim that were used for telephones, for public phones. That's an asimon. It's not even an adbea. But nevertheless, there hasn't been any physical change. When does the gazlan? When is he prevented from saying Hareishal Cholfanecha? What's the afkav of Hareishal Cholfanecha? It's got to be a shinui begufa dover. It's got to be a physical structural change. Perhaps what the Gemara is emphasizing here, I don't know, when it says time over Reicho, it means the fruits are still fruits. But nevertheless, the gazlan is mufka from saying Hareishal Cholfanecha because of its physical change in the tam and the reach. There's always got to be some physical change, says Rav Huna, and at that point the Mishnah paskins that the Gazan can no longer say Reishal Chovanecha, but in the case of the legal tender change, meaning the fact that the Melech has now invalidated the value of this coin, that's not a physical change in any way. The Tam and the Reach of the coin is exactly identical as it was B'Shas HaGzela and Reishal Chovanecha. I mean, Moshel Amayad Over Domeh, let's say a Malva gives money, coins, you know, wrapped up in a bag to the Lova, and the Lova gives the bag back to the Malva at some point. It's the exact same bag of coins. Now, what's inside and what's its value, that's irrelevant. This is what you gave me, this is what I'm giving you back. This is what I stole in the case of a Gazan, this is what I'm giving you back. It's the identical coins. He didn't take a coin and smash it to smithereens. Now, in order to clarify Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, we're going to have now a dialogue between Rava and Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Rava, Rabbi Yehuda, Lidoch, Tiamat Psalatu, Malchus, Nami, Hainu, Nistak, that once the Malchus invalidates the coin, takes it out of circulation anywhere in the world, it's no longer legal tender, it's Apostle Gamre, Bechala Olam. And in such a case, it's nistak according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though there was no physical change in the object. Hare truma v'nitmes. Why not compare it to the case of truma v'nitmes, where the gazan has the right to say Reishal Cholfanecha? And the reason is because the truma is identical in its physical structure to what was before. The chip salatu malchus dummy. We should equate Psalatu Malchus with the case of Truma Shenitmes, which was exactly the argument of Rav Huda that we had earlier, namely that there's no physical change in the Matbea. This is the Matbea he stole, this Matbea he's returning. Elo what, Psalatu Malchus? Well, that's like Truma Shenitmes. And the answer we've already anticipated. K'toni Omer lo Aresh Lomalei, Hosam lo Minkar Ezeka, Hocha Minkar Ezeka. Once the Malchus takes this coin out of circulation, and it's invalid anywhere in the world, that's called a Hezek Nikar, that's called a Shinu Nikar, because now everyone recognizes the object. So you don't need a physical change, you just need a change in the status that is absolutely recognizable. And herein we make the difference between Shumash and Nitmes, where the Gazan has the right to say Reishal Cholfanecha because no spectator, even with the greatest, you know, micro-scanning microscope, can tell the difference between the Shumash and Nitmes and Shuma Tahora. That's Eino Nikar. But anyone who's not blind can look at this coin that's been taken out of circulation, is no longer legal tender, and can identify it as monopoly money. It's worthless. That's a Hezek Nikar. That's a Shinya Nikar. And therefore, it has the same status as Nistak, and the Gazan has no right to say Hareishal Chovanech, but rather has the responsibility of Mishalim Kishas HaGzela. Now again, you might ask, well, why did Rava in his Kasha equate Psalatu Malchus with the case of Trumash and Nitmes? Why didn't he bring a support proof to Rav Yehuda from the case of Truma of Perosh Kivu? But the answer is that Rav understood that Perosh Kivu, there's a change in the Tam and the Reach, as we saw in Rav Huna. In Trumash and Nitmes, there's no change in the Tam and Reach, and therefore, since in the absence of a physical structural change, the Gazan has a right to say Hareishel Chofenech. The same thing should apply by analogy to the case of Nifsal, of a Psalatu Malchus, where just like in Truma Shenitmeis, there's no physical change. The Chiddush here is no. Minkar, says Rabbi Yehuda, does not depend upon physical and structural change, but rather on the fact that anyone can recognize it. And it's obviously valueless. It doesn't have a Shemite Bay anymore. And therefore the Gazan is Kona Vashini, Pes Kshas Hagzel. However, says Rabbi Yehuda, when does the Sefer, the Mishnah, equate Nifsal with Truma Shenitmeis? And Matbeah Shenitba, the Truma Shenitmeis, Are Shalcha Lifanecha. That's a case where the Shem Matbeah and the value of the Matbeah still exists. Again, as Rashi says, it was some grassroots, spontaneous decision or action on the part of the rank and file citizens of the country. We're not going to recognize this anymore. That belongs to a different group or a different political entity. You know, we don't want to relate to that. Stay away. But they don't have the power. They don't have the authority to undermine and invalidate the coin as is. And since the coin as is has value elsewhere, maybe you could trade it here too, if there are people come from other countries, tourists that come in town, or maybe you could just tell the exile, go take a boat to China, and that's where it's worth something. The value is still in existence. That's why the Gemara says in Kiddushin that if a man gives an Isha something that has no value here, locally, but it has value elsewhere, is she's mukudeshes. It does have a shavius and a shavapruta, not here, but in the world at large. Here too, the matbea is still in circulation, is recognized, it's legal tender elsewhere, in a different country. That's enough to give it the shem matbea and allow the gazlan to say, Areishel Cholfanecha. This is the analogy between nistak, I'm sorry, between nifsa, and Truma Shenitmeis, Hareishel Cholfanecha. Now the mind is curious to know, if we turn back to Rav Huda for a minute, that Psalatu Malchus Legamri B'chol Olam is still Hareishel Cholfanecha, because there's no physical structural change, and the Gaza could say, this is what I stole, take it back. What would be in the case of Malva Velova? As we said before, the Malva gives a bag to the Lova. It's got coins in it. Now, a month later, when the Lova comes to repay the Chov, he gives him back the same bag of coins, and those coins are valueless. Rav Huna would still say, look, this is what you gave me. This is what I'm giving back. Or shall we say, no. Yesh l'chalik. Maybe in the case of Eishev, it's like Zeh l'shar gozal. This is what I stole. This is what I'm giving back. But in Malva v'Lova, where we have Alocha Milva Lotzah Nitna, what the Malva wants to get back is not his original coins, he wants to get back the value in abstract dollars and cents that he gave to the Lova. Or we could say just the opposite, that maybe even Rabbi Yehuda, who insists that in the case of Psalatu Malchus, it's equivalent to a Shinui Gomur, since it's not worth anything anywhere, and the Gazan would have to pay Kishas Hagzela, correct? And he can't say Hareishel Cholofanecha, and it's like Nistak. Perhaps, however, in the case of Malva Velova, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the Lova has a right to say Hareishel Cholofanecha. Why do I have to go beyond here are the coins you gave me, Mr. Malva? I'm repaying those coins. Meaning that Rabbi Yehuda in Gzela is not willing to put all the emphasis on the physical object, and therefore he's going to equate Psalatu Malchus Legami B'chol Olam with Peros Shehukivu, with Nistak, because it's recognizable that this is no longer legal tender, it's not a Matbea, even though physically it's the same thing that he stole, but it's not a Matbea, and everyone can see that, it's monopoly money, it's old Shkolim, they're out of circulation, but nevertheless, in the case of Malva Velova, maybe the Lova, even according to the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, has the right to say, look, I'm giving you back what you lent to me. I never actually spent the money. Here are the same coins you gave me. Itmar. Hamalves chaver al matbeah. And here Rashi says, two lines before the end of the daf, Shum Pragmatia. They evaluate a certain volume or whatever of merchandise, and once the value is set, the recipient, I don't know what to call him, if it's pragmatia, you know, we're not talking about a malvolova here. We're really talking about a sale of merchandise. Just that the buyer, he's going to be a middleman, he's going to make a profit by selling this merchandise on the market, but he doesn't have the money to pay the mocher right now. So the mocher extends a loan, so to speak, to the lokeach, and he says, look, you are the lokeach, but you don't have to pay me now, pay me down the line, since you don't have the money now. And this is a mekach, this is a kind of a sale, and the sale, instead of immediate payment, turns into a kind of a chov. And the question is, what happens, nifslam adbea, and we'll soon see on Tzadi Zayinam and Beis, that Shmuel says, despite the fact that Nifsala Hamad Bea, nevertheless the Lokeach can pay with this Madbea, meaning the case is where the Lokeach doesn't have the money to pay, but he took upon himself a Chiyuv, a Chov, to pay with a certain Madbea, and that Madbea, or a number of those Madbeos, have the value of the pragmatia, of the schora, the merchandise that he received from the mocher. And here, according to Shmuel, if the lokech is giving matbeos, then, you know what, that's what he was mischayev, and that's what he could pay. On the other hand, Rav, let's read Rav Omar, and here on Tzadi Zayinam and Beis on the top, no saying lo matbea hayotze biosa shah. The lokech has to pay the mocher with a coin that has value here, now, at the time that he's paying up. Now again, it's quite possible that this is a din of a unique kind of chov, a category of chov that comes within the framework of a mekach. And Rav insists that in order to pay up for a mekach, basically the mocher wants to get his value back. And here, at the time of the piron, these coins are valueless, says Rav, that's not a piron of a mekach. In the case of Alva, everybody would agree, even Rav, that if the lov is returning the very same matbea that he received. Again, he received the coin up front. He didn't receive pragmatia. And if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says on the top of Tzadi Zayinam Beis, Nosin lo matbea hayotze b'shas piron, the kibul olav loses lo matbea, v'hai lav matbeahu, because here it's worthless. But dafka, says Rashi, lvo pragmatia. Aval hilvo mos es shelvo mishalim lo. Even Rav would agree that he can give back the same coins to the malva that he received from the malva. And here, if you take a look on the bottom of Tzadi Zayinam and Alfin Tosis, Dibra Maska Malva, Tosis quotes Rashi and disagrees with Rashi. According to Tosis, there's no difference between a mekach, a sale of merchandise, and alva. In both cases, unless he says explicitly that he wants mos in return, if he didn't say explicitly that he wants mos in return, then what basically he's implying is that, you know what, you can give me back these mos. If he says he wants mos back, then he's, at least according to Shmuel, according to Rav, rather, he wants the mocher, the malva wants value. and therefore you can't give back the mos. If he says nothing, in other words, if the malva doesn't stipulate, then even Rav would agree to Shmuel that whether or not it's a case of mekach or it's a case of halva, he can return those same mos. So in the case of mekach, he's mischai for certain mos, he gives him those mos. Either they're out of circulation here today, it doesn't matter. Here Rav would agree to Shmuel. The question is, if he didn't say, give me back mos specifically, then he wants value. That's where Rav says, if it's not valued here, then it's not considered a piron. Whereas Rashi holds that in every case of malva, we're going to say that even Rav agrees that the mos that he got, the matbe that he got, he can return, and that's what Rashi says, mos hilvo mos mashalim lo. You know, he gave mos, he gives it back. I mean, Tosus is arguing about that, because Tosus thinks that if, and only if he says, give me back mos, that's when Rav says, when he meant to say, give me back mos, he meant to say, I want value, and that's where Rav gets upset and objects to the case where the value of the mos has been removed, at least locally. But in a case where he doesn't say anything, then whether it's mekach or alva, there was a chiv to pay mos, he could pay mos, and even Rav would accept that he's paying mos. In any event, let's read Shmuel very carefully. Shmuel says, Omar, Yochol lomar lo leich hotzio b'meishan. Meishan is like China, you know, someplace way out there. And if these matbeos are valueless here because of paslas o malchus, but out there in Meishan, those matbeos have the status of legal tender, then the piron, let's say in this case of mekach, for the prakmatia that he received, the schor that he received, can be with mos, which matbeah, which is possible here, because he can always say to the mocher, look, go to that far out country called Meishan, and there you'll be able to go to the exchange and get your mos from the exchange guy, you know, from the cambio guy. Now, I'm not sure if Shmuel should be taken literally. We'll soon see that Rav Nachman definitely takes him literally. I would like to suggest, before Rav Nachman, in the pre-Rav Nachman understanding of Shmuel, that Shmuel might have been saying something else. He doesn't mean that the payment of the lokeach is contingent on the fact that the mocher has the obligation, so to speak, to pick himself up and go to Meishan. I think that's rather a tzuris habitu, that's a matter of expression, the way Shmuel wants to express it. What Shmuel is really, really saying, I believe, is that the fact that in Meishan it has value, and it's legal tender, and it's recognized as such, therefore it is a matbea, and if he was mischayev himself to pay matbea, which means might bear with value, he is in fact giving him something of value. And therefore he has fulfilled his obligation vis-a-vis the chov of this mekach. However, Rav Nachman, I think, takes Shmuel to his word. Mistavra milsei de Shmuel, when does the lokech have the right to say the mocher, you take a boat, a slow boat to Meishan, that's only de islei, meaning that this mocher has, you know, has a way to get there. In other words, he, I don't know if he has tickets to a boat or there are, you know, this daily transportation to Meishan, or for whatever reason there's you know, for whatever the case is, there's reason to believe that the mocher will in fact be on his way to Meishan. Or maybe as a close relative or business cohort that goes to Meishan on a regular basis, then Shmuel makes sense. Then the payment is really a payment of value. But if it's not even feasible, or shall we say it's not accessible for the mocher to get on a boat to Meishan, then Shmuel would have to be moder that it's not a payment of value. The lokech has not really paid true, genuine value. It's not accessible. You know, I could say to you, look, I'm going to pay you with a coin that's on the bottom of the sea, and you pay divers to haul it up from the bottom of the sea. You know, that's not payment, that's not value. Esve, Rav asks Rav Nachman a question, and this itself, I think, indicates that maybe, perhaps, Rav had a different understanding of Shmuel, and he felt that it wasn't, you know, we were not necessarily compelled to accept Rav Nachman's take on Shmuel. And the question that Rav is going to, the objection Rav is going to raise against Rav Nachman is from a brisa in Masechta Maaser Sheni. And we know that in Maaser Sheni, which has to be a tenth of his produce on the first 2 years and the fourth and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, and he has to be mafresh 10% of his produce and eat in Yushalayim B'tara, B'kedusha, and that's called Maaser Sheni. But if he's far away from Yerushalayim, the Torah says, Ki yirchak mimcha amakom in Parshas Re'eh, you could be poda your peros of Maaser Sheni onto Mos, on Mos that have a tsuras kesev, and through the chilul of kedushas peros onto the matbea, he takes the matbea to Yerushalayim, and there he buys food and eats it there. And the brisa is teaching us that what kind of matbea is valid for chilul peros maaser is a matbea that has to is the Bryce is telling us the matbea has to be legal tender in Yerushalayim. You know, to be, let's say you're up in the Galil and you're going to be machal your peros in the Galil on mos and then bring these mos to Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim they're worthless. That's not vitzarta hakesef. You know, tzarta kesef means it's got to be a kesef shel tzura, a matbea that's worth something. But in Yerushalayim, the tzura doesn't give it any value. And yet the Braisa says the following, Ein mechalin ala mos she'enom yotzos. You cannot use mos that are invalid and have those status as legal tender in Yerushalayim as mos of chilul peros, kedushas peros maaser sheni, because there's no chashivas, as we said, to the tzura. But ketzad, look at the extreme case that the Braisa presents. Shoyulo mos kozvios. Rashi points out that kozvios is a reference to ben koziva, what we call bar kochva. And these mos, although they may be worth something in a museum, but they're clearly, you know, for centuries they're out of use. They have no legal tender. Yerushalmios. I'm not exactly sure what Yerushalmios are. It could be that, you know, we read it in Rashi's first lishna as Kozivos Yerushalmios. That's all one sentence. It's hyphenated, one phrase. And this is matbea of Bar Kokhva. And there are still museums that have some of those matbeos around. And those matbeos were in Yerushalayim. You may remember the Bar Kokhva in the mindset of Rabbi Kiva was Mashiach, was Melech HaMashiach. They coined matveos in honor of Bar Kokhva. However, Rashi offers a second girs of Kozivios O Yerushalmios, meaning these are two different categories of matveos. And Rashi says the Kozivos comes from a place called Kziv. But be that as it may, and I think there's a place called Ksiv in the Torah itself, these are O Shel Melachim Rishonim. You know, these are matbeos that have the tzura of a melech from yesteryear. Is Ein Mechalalin. And again, the Braisa is giving us a very extreme case of coins that are totally out of circulation, have no legal tender today. So Rav is medayik hashal achronim. What if you had the tzura on this matbea of relatively contemporary kings, dumya derishonim, even though dumya derishonim means that here it has no legal tender, it has no value as legal tender. That's dumya derishonim, just like the bar koziva coins have no value as legal tender. Machal. In other words, as long all the Braisa is interested in is establishing that this coin has value somewhere on the face of the earth today, and that makes it, and that's a result, I should say, of the fact that the tzura here on this matpeh is Malachim Achronim. But where the Baal HaBayis, let's say, is using it to be mafresh, to be mechal peris ma'aser sheni, we'll call that makomo shel Baal HaBayis hamafresh. There, it's not legal tender. It is legal tender elsewhere. And that itself is enough, again, if you read this implication and this allusion in the Mishnah, to validate it for Chiul Maiser Sheni. And the Baal HaBayis has no interest or no intention of picking himself up and establishing his presence in a different far off Medina where they do recognize these coins as Matbea Hayotze. He's on his way to Yerushalayim now to be Mekayim his Mitzvah Maaser Sheni. He's not going to that Medina. So let's say this coin is worth something in Norway, and yet he could be Mechal on these his Peros up in Galil on coins that are worth something in Norway, because it's Malachim Achronim, and it's recognized as legal tender in Norway, but he has no intention, he has no ticket to Norway. And this would undermine and upslug the shita of Rav Nachman, who says no. It's only if somebody's, you know, you can give it value, you know, vis-a-vis someone who's on his way to that place where it's legal tender. Amalei, so Rav Nachman answers Rava, Hacha v'may askinon. In this price, we're talking about a case k'she'ein malchios makpidos zo al zo. Elo ki omer shmuk shamalchios makpidos zol zo. Now Rav Nachman is making the following distinction. There are two cases categorically different one from the other. There's one case which is the extreme case called malchios makpidos zol zo, meaning that the king has an objection. He's repulsed, so to speak, by these matbeis. He wants to get them out of circulation to completely. He doesn't want them even to be used and shipped elsewhere to other countries. You know, there'll be custom officials at the border, you know, checking people, checking their pocketbooks or whatever, to make sure that they're not taking those matbeos that were taken out of legal tender here and trying to use them elsewhere. That's called makpidos. But if it's ein makpidos, that means the malchus says, you know what, this matbea no longer is legal tender and valuable here, but I don't care if you take it and ship it out to another medina. In that case, the person who's holding on to these matbeos, he doesn't have to feel inhibited. He doesn't have to feel like he's got to, you know, hide them. He can be, you know, come out publicly with these matbeos. And even if he's not on his way there, nevertheless, he can give it to someone from that medina who's here as a tourist. So, as we said before, if these coins are valid tender in Norway, so we're hoping there'll be some Norwegians who visit here, and at that point he's going to take out these matbeos, and he's going to make an exchange with this Norwegian tourist. But that wasn't the case of Shmuel. That's the case of the Braisa. Shmuel's frame of reference was makpidos. And if it's makpidos, then the person to whom you give these matbeos that have value as legal tender elsewhere in a different country is hechi motzi mamti lehu. In other words, if he can't take this matbea from one country to the other, they can actually, as we said before, set up officials to investigate, to check him, and make sure that he's not taking these matbeos out of the country. And yet, keep in mind, Rav Nachman qualified Shmuel in saying that you can, since it is legal tender elsewhere, you can use it as payment, or in the case of Maaser Sheni, for Chil Maaser Sheni. And why, says Rav Nachman in curtailing and circumscribing Shmuel, that's because Islei Urche LeMeizel Meishan. But how's he going to go to Meishan if the Malchios are Makpidos? You know, he's really putting himself into danger. He might be penalized if he gets caught taking these matbeos on a trip to Meishan. So the Gemara says, Hechi Motzi Mamtile. How does Rav Nachman imagine, and in this case of Malchios Makpidos, that there is a possibility, and that's what gives this coin value, that he's on his way there shipping him out, but the Makpidos, they're not going to let him out. And if they find him, they discover him with these Matbeos, that he's holding on to them because he's sort of flaunting them publicly, then they're going to confiscate it, or maybe they'll penalize him, maybe they'll throw him into jail, I don't know. So the Gemara says, the Mamti le al yideat chak. Dilo bechashoy. In other words, you have to understand there is a kpeda over here, but not a total kpeda. Imish kache kapti. If they find him, if he's flaunting, you know, and waving these matbeos publicly, and the officials see that they're not going to tolerate. But on the other hand, although he can't be very public about it, but as long as he's a little bit tsanu about it, he's private about it, no one's going to check his bags and force him to open up his pocketbook and see if somewhere in the inner lining he was sewn up some coins that belong to that country, that Meishan. Is Rav Nachman says that if the mocher or the malva, whatever it might be, has intention to go there, then it's valuable. And, you know, the lokeah could foist these coins on the mocher and say, look, you're going there anyway, or you can go there, and it's accessible to you. Don't flaunt it in front of the officials, but on the other hand, hide it and take it with you, and it's valuable to you. But if the malve or the mocher has no intention of going there, then the malve has a right to say, I don't want to take these coins, because, in effect, they're valueless. It's not like the case of Ein Malchios Makpidos, which was the case of the Brisa with Chil Maisa Sheni, because there, the Malchus says, you know, we don't care about the fact that this Matbea is valuable in other Medinos. Maybe that adds to the covet of the Malchus, the fact that other countries recognize its legal value. And therefore, you know, you can take these matbeos out publicly, you can wave them, and nobody's going to do anything to you. It's not illegal in any sense. And therefore, who cares whether you have a derech l'sham or not? You know, people are going to come into the country, and you'll give it to them. But in the case where there is an element of kpeda, then it depends upon whether the malve or the mocher is going to go there or not. So let's just sort of summarize all the cases that we have halacha lemaisa. Again, we could talk about the mocher or the malva. It's interchangeable. If the malva could use this matbea, then there's no way that he has rights to refuse to accept that matbea. And therefore, in the case where the malchus is makpedes, they're going to look and investigate to make sure that no one's holding on to these matbeos that were taken out of circulation. Then the malva has every right to refuse to receive them. Or, for example, if the malchus is makpedes, that they shouldn't publicly flaunt these matbeos, and he, the malva, has no intention to going to that second matbea, that medina, that far-out country, he could also refuse it. But if the malchus doesn't look into and set up these customs offices to check and investigate, then in the case of Daito Leila Chasham, which in the language of Rav Nachman is Islay Urche LeMezal LeMeshan, then there's a chiyuv, an absolute obligation on the part of the Malva to receive these mos. Or, for example, the case of Prakmatia the Mocha to receive these mos. Why? Because the Malchus is not makpid to look for them, even though they took them out of circulation here locally. So it'll be very easy for him, if he's on a trip to that country, to take these mos with him and cash them in as value. But if the malchus is not makpid at all, then under no circumstances does the malva have the right to say, I'm makpid, I don't want to receive these mos. Even if the malva has no das, has no intention of going to that far-off country where it's worth something, but nevertheless there are people from that country who come here, and in a jiffy can exchange it with those tourists. That's the overall summary of the Gemara. Toshma, the Gemara now asks another kashmir of Nachman from an additional Braisa. Ein Mechal, and again back to Chilul Peros Maisa Sheni al Mos Shalkan, of their Mos of Yushalayim, Vehein Bebovel. What if there are coins that are valuable and legal tender in Yushalayim, but the Baal is out of Eretz Yisrael in this case? You know, he's with his mos in Bavel. I guess his fruits are in Eretz Yisrael, but he's on a trip to Bavel, and he wants to be poded those fruits on these mos in Bavel. But these mos, although they're valuable in Yerushalayim, but he's not in Yerushalayim now. He's in Bavel, where he is. These coins are valueless. In such a case, the Brisa establishes that he cannot use these coins in Bavel, where they're valueless, as Peiro, as Chilul Peiros Meiser Sheni. That's not called Kesef Tzura, because in Bavel they're worthless. Now we have the second case in this Brisa. Vishel Bavel Vehein Kan, let's say the Baal Bayis is here in Yerushalayim together with this money, but the money itself is Babylonian money, and it's not legal tender here in Yerushalayim. That too is excluded from serving as Mos for Chilul Meiser Sheni. Now we go on to case number three. Shel Bavel, Hein B'Bavel, meaning the Bailam and the Mos are in Bavel, is Mechalalin. And that's very strange, because what value do these mos have in Yerushalayim? They're only valuable in Bavel. Ktoni mias, ein mechalin al mos shel kan, vehein bebavel. Afgav de sofo le mesak le hosam. The Brisa says that you cannot be Michal Peros Maisasheni on Mos of Yerushalayim if the Bailim and the Mos are in Bavel. Why is that any worse than the case of Rav Nachman, where it's not legal tender here, but it's legal tender elsewhere, and he has intention to go there. Here also, he's going to take these payers to Yerushalayim to be, these mos to Yerushalayim to be, to buy food and be mekayim the mitzvah of Achilas Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. And even if here in Bavel these coins are not valuable, nevertheless they're valuable in Yerushalayim. It would seem, therefore, from this brisa, that even if a person has a, what he calls, Islay Urche Lemeza Lemeshan, he's so full of Mesek Lahasam, he's going on his way to Meshan, nevertheless it's not considered a Matbea Hayotze. And this cash is really not a cash just on Rav Nachman, because even if we didn't have Shmuel, right, Lulei Dvarov, even without the interpretation of Rav Nachman, we have Shmuel, who says that if the matbea is worth something elsewhere, even if he has no derech, no intention of going there, so how much more so here, where he has intention to go there, is Hachamayas Kinon. The Gemara answers that we're talking about a case of Malchios Makpidos, Zo Al Zo. And they set up, as we said before, customs offices to check to make sure that the mos are not going to be shipped out to another country. Therefore, if it'll be mechalel on a matbea of Bavel, he won't be able to take it out to Yerushalayim. Right? We thought, well, okay, fine. He's on his way to Yerushalayim anyway. But the answer is he's not going to be able to get it out and ship it off to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara asks, if that be the case, the Malchus HaMakpido Zuazu, what about the case of Shel Bavel Vehein B'Bavel? Even if he has a Mos of Bavel, and the Bailam are in Bavel, and there we said he can be Mechal on the Mos in Bavel, we had a question on that, if you remember. Lamai Chazu, what can he do with these matbeos? He's going to have to take them to Shalim. He can't take them to Shalim because Makpido Zuazu, they won't let him out. So why are these most kosher for chil meiser? And the Gemara answers, Chazu dezovin behu behemo umasik Shalim. What he can do here in Bavel is he can use these matbeos and purchase an animal and take the animal up to Shalim. However, the Gemara continues with this brisa. And the brice that we mentioned earlier that said that you cannot be Mechalel Mos of Bavel if the Bailim are in Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, Vasanya Hiskinu Sheyehu Hamos Yotzos Yerushalayim et Nekach. the Braisa says that all the matbeos of all the medinos that are yotzis in Yerushalayim are valid for chilul ma'aser. And if we're talking about Malonian coins in Yerushalayim, and we assume that all mos are yotzis in Yerushalayim, that was the takona that they made, so why can't he be mechal ma'aser sheni on matbeos of Bavel? Omer Abzeira Lokasha Khan, the Brisa that says that all mos are valid and legal tender in Yerushalayim, that's Bizman Shiyad Yisrael Tkefa Al Umos Olam, when there's Jewish sovereignty and control over the nations. Then they can make a takana that, you know, since there are so many people coming from all different nations, Jews coming to be Ola Zayin to Yerushalayim, they needed that takana that any coins and any tender that they brought from any country from which any country of origin should be validated. Khan, but the Braisa that says he cannot be Mechalel on a Matbeah that's not Yotzi in Yerushalayim, that's Bizman Shiyada Umos Olam Tkefa Al Atzman. There's no Jewish sovereignty over countries of the world, and therefore people did not come and Olazayim to Yerushalayim. They came from all the four corners of Eretz Yisrael, but not from outside the land of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, they didn't need any sort of takana with regard to legal tender from other countries. And they wouldn't accept in Yerushalayim anything but Mos Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, you cannot be Mechal B'Yerushalayim Mos of Bavel. Tana Rabbanan Ezi Matbea Shel Yerushalayim. This is a little bit more of an Agadic Gemara. What were the Tzura that they, what was the tzura that they minted on the matbeah of Yerushalayim? David uShlomo mitzad echad. On one side of the matbeah there was an image of David and Shlomo, and it says the Yerushalayim ira kodesh mitzad acher. It says on the other side of the coin they imprinted the words Yerushalayim ira kodesh. Ve'eza matbeah shel Avram Avinu. Chazal understood that even Avram Avinu, back in his day, was able to mint coins. And what was the tzura that he minted on the coins? Again, it's all based on a chazal in Medrash Rabbah on V'agadla Shmechra. Brachia says in this Medrash, Sheyotza Monitin V'matbeah Shalo Ba'olam, that the matbeah that was minted by, locally by Avram and his household was accepted tender in the entire world. And even though technically he was not a melech, but nevertheless he was able to be to mint coins that were accepted and validated in the entire world. So what was on this coin minted by Avram Avinu? And the Gemara answers, the Braisa says, Zokenu Zkena Mitzad Echad, which is probably a remez to Avram and Sarah, Bachur B'sula Mitzad Acher, and that's a remez to Yitzchak and Rivka. I would like to share with you a piece from my father's drasha for Parshas Lech Lecha that he gave many, many moons ago. He writes that according to Chazal, Avram Avinu, and I'm quoting here, exercised the rights and the prerogatives of an independent ruler. He had an army of his own, which he used in time of war to champion the cause of justice and mercy. He also coined his own money when he bought the Maras HaMachpelah. He paid 400 shekels that came from his own mine, M-I-N-E. The Torah declares that it was over Lasoch. This money was accepted by all tradesmen or merchants of that day. Now, what kind of a coin did Avram issue? What did he inscribe on the two sides of the coin? Chazal offer the following description. Zakenu Zkena Mitzad Echad. On one side of the coin, there was an image of an old man and old woman. And Bachur Besula Mitzad Sheni. On the other side, there was a youth and a maiden. And this is our Gemara in Bava Kamma 97b. Now, this unusual design appearing on the coin of Avram is very meaningful, and it teaches something for all of us. It addresses itself
to the Bachur Ubasula, the builders of the future, the man and the woman of tomorrow, urging them not to break with the wisdom of the past, not to dissociate themselves from the traditions of the Zokain Uskena, the elders that preceded them. No human being can claim that he is a completely independent entity. Each of us represents the total experience of those who came before us, and we in turn will add a little something to that experience and hand it over to those who will come after us. So I think what my father, Zichron Levrach, is saying here is that we are standing on the shoulders of those who came before us, we'll add something, and then we'll transfer it over to those who come after us. We are a link in an endless chain. It is our responsibility, our duty, to be a true and loyal link in that chain. If one looks only on one side of the coin and he sees only the Bachur Basula, these are the vigorous, enthusiastic youth moving steadily ahead, to them the future belongs, but they will inherit, and they will inherit the earth. But the coin is, when it's turned, has an image of a Zaken who's Cain of the parents, the grandparents, unknown ancestors who are responsible for a great share of the progress that is now being made. Without them, the world would still be in the jungle or in the cave. The message of Avram's coin, therefore, is urging us there should be no gap between the old and the young. That is the essence and the secret of the Jewish people. We are all made of the same metal and design. We're all the products of the same history and tradition. When the enthusiasm and energy of youth is integrated and based on the wisdom and piety of the past, they forge together to form the Jewish personality of the future. The products of such a mizug, of such an integration, will be Jewish men and women, physically strong, mentally sound, and spiritually energized. And this is the message of Avram Avinu's coin. The Gemara before, earlier, quoted a machlokes regarding a person who lends his friend a matbea, and the matbea becomes nifsal. Now the Gemara has a suffix, Rav has a suffix. What's the din if the matbea goes up in value? Boy minei, Rav mirav Nachman, Rav asks, Hamalvis chavero al hamatbea vosifu olav. They began to produce a matbea with a little bit more thickness to it. You know, the volume, the weight of the metal increased in value. Mahu, when the buyer comes to be porea, does he reduce his payment based on the increment, the appreciation and value of the matbea? Omalo, Rav Chizda said to Rav, no singlo matbea yotzi bo sasha, period. He gives the same matbea, even though now it's thicker. That's what he pays back. Omalo, vafilu ki nafya, even if they added to this matbea, it was a small matbea, now they made it nofach. Nofach means they blew it up, so to speak. It's now got an extra volume. Omole in, the same halach applies. Omole afilu kitartia. What if they added so much to the weight and the silver content, such that now the matbea is so great that it has the mid of a tartia? That's a great volume. It's a midah that can hold on to a rova hakav. Omalei, Rav Chizda turns to Rav and he says, in, even so, it's still the same matbea. Rav turns to Rav Chizda and he asks, v'hoka zayilin peire, meaning he can pay less and get the same amount of peiros. In other words, now the buying value of this very thick and heavy coin is such that he can get double amount, I don't know, whatever percentage amount of peiros in addition to what he would normally have. So basically the value that he's giving back to pay for the merchandise is much greater. We said that when he agreed to pay for the merchandise later on, that's a chov. And you cannot pay more and return more for the chov than what you got. That's ribis. Omer Ravashi. Ravashi says, Chazinon, do we apply the law of ribis or not? Let's analyze, let's evaluate how much the value of peros went down and why they went down. If the reason why the fruits went down in value, meaning you can get much more for a greater volume of fruits when you buy it with this matbea menakhinan lei, then we have to subtract that increment, that hosafa, because otherwise we have a ribis problem. But v'i machmas tara, if let's say the reason why fruits are now in abundance and you can get them at a cheaper value, is that's a reflection of changes in the market conditions, zeal. The peros went down in value. Again, there's a massive volume of peros in the market because the fruits were produced that year. It was a bumper crop that year, and therefore you can get it less. You can get more fruits for less value, lo menakhinan lei. Then we're not going to make this differentiate and subtract the difference. So the Gemara asks, v'haka shavach le'inyon naska. What about the metallic value of the coin? Meaning now, the value in terms of metal, I mean, a coin has a double value. It has a value as legal tender, but also has its inherent value as metal. And now, if he comes to evaluate the metal content of this coin, let's say if he would put it through a heating process and sell it just as a slab of metal, that's called a naska, then as a result he can get a lot more money. And that itself should make it ribis. Eliki hodarav paparav huna braid rabbi Yeshua avde uvda they paskin halacha lemaisa. When there's a case of someone who was chayev to pay mos, and now the matbea is thicker, and they checked it out bezuzi de agmedinin taya. It was a case of mos that belonged to what's called the socher hayishmaeli, and ad asara besamne. If you can get for 10 matbeos, the old matbeos, now you get 8 matbeos, so the 8 matbeos are worth 10, then he pays him only 8, and even though he had originally obligated himself to pay 10. So basically the Gemara's final conclusion is if the fruits go down in value as a result of the fact that the matbeo went up in value, or if they added to the metal component of the matbea, they now have a much heavier matbeos, and it's more than 1/5, again the relationship between the 8 and the 10, so now it's gone up in its metallic volume or weight by 20%, is then you're not in those two cases where the increase and the appreciation of the matbea is such that now he can buy more fruits for the same matbea than he did at the time of the alva, the time of the chov, or alternatively, if the volume and the weight of the silver has gone up so considerably that's 20% more, in those cases he's not allowed to pay him from the new coins because that would be ribis, but rather he has to subtract the difference so that he avoids the iser ribis. So this is on the top of Tzadik Ches, and that's where we'll stop.